Perhaps you picked up a church bulletin. There are two different covers. One says, "Earth has no sorrow that heaven cannot heal." With the verse Isaiah 35:10, "They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away." The other one, a similar theme, says, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God." With a reference to John 14. Those covers seem to point to the comfort that we find in being God's children and in following His ways. In our adult Bible class, we read from 1 Peter chapter 4, written to a church that was in the middle of intense physical suffering. The title of that lesson was "Serve One Another." During the difficult times, the antidote was to serve each other. And so today, I would like to preach on the topic of the comfort of God. And the title of the message is, "Are we comfortable or are we comforted?" Are we comfortable or are we comforted? I would really like to encourage our church family here to live for God and to help each other. Let's begin with a prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I'm so thankful that You are known as the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. And Lord, as we think about how You have delivered us and do deliver us and will deliver us, Father, may those thoughts spur our hearts to want to follow Your ways, to live for You and to serve each other, though that be difficult. Lord, that we may live the lives that require and need Your comfort rather than just to seek our own comfort. We ask Your blessing upon Your word as we would read it, and as we would think about it, Lord, and as each one of us would draw close to You, Father, may our hearts be truly open unto Your Spirit and Your Word. And we pray that You would open Your Word to those hearts. Amen. I'd like to read from the letter of the Apostle Paul to the Corinthian church, this found in 2 Corinthians, a portion of the first chapter, the first 11 verses. Before reading, I'd like you to challenge yourself and think about your life. Are you seeking a life of comfort? The good things in life, the experiences, to have the good life? Or are you seeking to be comforted by God? The topic of comfort is a very interesting and challenging one. You know, we like the idea of comfort, don't we? But sometimes I think we are confused. We may think of comfort as just a big soft pillow or a giant teddy bear that we get to just hang on to. That's not what that word means. And we're going to learn about that word. We might be like the one who prayed, "Comfort me, Lord, pay my bills. Comfort me, Lord, and cure my ills. Comfort me, Lord, remove my fears. Comfort me, Lord, and dry my tears. Comfort me, Lord, and increase my wealth. Comfort me, Lord, and preserve my health. Comfort me, Lord, and plead my case. Comfort me, Lord. Enlarge my place. Comfort me, Lord, and tell me why. Comfort me, Lord, and set me on high. Comfort me, Lord, and do what I say. Comfort me, Lord, and do it today. To which the response was, the Spirit listened as I uttered my mind. He said not a word as I pleaded and pined. Then he spoke in the language of conviction, saying, comfort isn't comfort in the absence of affliction. Let's read the Bible, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, the first 11 verses in the King James Version. Reads, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, with all the saints, which are in all Achaia. Grace be to you, and peace from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. And whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer. Or whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. And our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that as ye are partakers of the sufferings, so shall ye be also of the consolation. For we would not, brethren, have you be ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure, above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God, which raiseth the dead, who delivered us from so great a death, and doth deliver us, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us, ye also helping together by prayer for us, that for the gift bestowed upon us by the means of many persons, thanks may be given by many on our behalf. May God bless the reading of his holy word. The definition of comfort. As I alluded, it's not just the idea of a big soft pillow or a giant teddy bear or even the idea of pity or consolation or sympathy, something that helps us feel better, softness or ease. That is comfort. And that's part of it. But the biblical word for comfort and the usage of that word has evolved and changed over time. So the biblical word comfort implies much more than just the feelings of being comforted or being helped. We can see in that word comfort perhaps the root, the word fort. And a fort is something that's strong, right? Why does the military establish a military fort? Just for safety or for feelings of security? Is for protection, right? And for strength. The Latin word comfort comes from fortis, to strengthen. And so when we see the word comfort or consolation as in our text in the Bible, it's the idea is to strengthen, to fortify. And further, this word comfort in the Greek is the same word as paraklesis. Paraklesis. And so many of us are familiar with the term paraclete, aren't we? The Greek word paraclete, that's the name given to the Holy Spirit, the paraclete. He is the comforter, right? Jesus said, I'm going to depart, but I'm going to give you the promise of my Father, even another comforter, a paraclete, one who brings strength. And the word paraclete means just to come alongside, to call someone to be alongside, to be strong together, to be brave together. So it's much more than just someone to comfort and to make us feel better, but to give us strength, to fortify us. That's what Christian comfort is. That's the biblical definition. And so we need to understand that as we look at the scripture here. The Apostle Paul knew well about the need for comfort. Let's think about his life. And we can think specifically about his dealings with the Corinthians. He starts out by saying, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God. He was an apostle. He was called for that very specific office of apostleship. And he dedicated his life to that. When he was called to that, as a zealous Jew, as a Hebrew of the Hebrews, as a learned scholar, as one who was doing everything possible to stamp out Christianity, he was told in a vision that as God called him, God said, I'm going to show you the many things you're going to suffer for me. His calling was to suffer for God as an apostle. And so as he went on missionary journeys, and as he spread the gospel, and as he gave himself completely to the Lord Jesus Christ, he suffered. He had a tough life. He had a tough life physically. It was not easy to be an apostle. It was not easy to do what he did, to go on his missionary journeys. He physically suffered. He writes about that in this book. In chapter 11 of 2 Corinthians, beginning with verse 23, he just talks a bit about the physical suffering, and listen to what he had to go through. He said, I am more, referring to his suffering. He said, in labors more abundant, in stripes, which is beatings, above measure, in prisons more frequent, in death, or the peril of death, oft. He says, of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. I've been beaten 5 times. And of course, the law prescribed that when you were beaten, you were hit 40 times. And just to be exact and to be precise and to be careful, the Jews always stopped at 39, just in case they counted wrong. They didn't want to break the law. So they were so careful that when you beat someone 40 times, stop at 39 so you don't break the law. And so he says, 5 times I received 40 stripes, save one. Thrice I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. We can read about that in the book of Acts. Thrice, 3 times I have suffered shipwreck. A night and the day have I been in the deep. I was in the water and the shipwreck all alone a day and a night. I wouldn't have made it through that. In journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils by mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. He suffered physically beyond what any of us have. At the point of writing this book of 2 Corinthians, he had been a Christian, had been serving 20 years. So he was probably in his late 50s. And he's looking back and he's saying, God has comforted me. And if we think about those physical difficulties, we can see that. But his suffering was much more than just physical, as difficult as that was. He suffered as a missionary for his faith. He was rejected by his own. He was persecuted. He was chased. People wanted to kill him all the time. The churches that he served had so many difficulties. Going on here in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, where he's talking about his physical suffering, he adds to it. And he says, besides all those things that are without, besides what the physical suffering that happened outside of my mind to my body and in my life, besides those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. He had oversight of churches. He started these churches on his missionary journeys. He went back and visited them, and it brought a lot of stress and heartache. He said, who is weak and I am not weak? Who is offended and I burn or grieve not? He suffered as a servant, as a leader. And when we want to serve God, we might not face the physical suffering, but we will face opposition and persecution on many fronts. And he certainly did. He suffered physically, he suffered emotionally and spiritually. The church that made him suffer the most was the Corinthians. They were messed up. They had difficulty with doctrine. They were a divided church. They permitted immorality. In fact, incest was permitted. They were confused about the Lord's Supper. They had problems with idolatry and meat being offered to idols. They didn't understand the resurrection. They were disobedient. They tolerated false teachers. Their order of worship was mixed up. And this was the church that he started. He started it on his second missionary journey. He was there 18 months with Aquila and Priscilla, and he ministered to them. Then he left them and went on his journey. He heard about their troubles. And when he heard of the troubles and their struggles and their problems, he wrote him a letter. That's not 1 Corinthians. That letter has been lost. And in that letter, he rebuked them strongly. But they didn't repent. And so because of that, he wrote them another letter. That is 1 Corinthians. And in that letter, all the topics I mentioned and more were covered. And he tried to help this church, whom he loved, to set them straight, to bring them back to the right way, to teach them the truth. You know, that church was in the city of Corinth. It was a strategic place where all of the traffic went through that city. And so it was very commercial, very developed, very worldly. Because of the way that the land lay, the sailors who would want to sail around the island would rather carry their ships the 4 miles that it takes to get from one side of the sea to the other than to traverse the waters. And as people then went from the north to the south, they passed through Corinth. And so that city at that time was known for everything depraved, everything debauched. It was a wicked city that this church was in, and the influence of the world was in the church. And so false teachers were there, and these false teachers were saying, the Apostle Paul was not preaching the truth. And look at him. He's suffering. He's in prison all the time. God's judging him for sin in his life. They accused him of stealing the offerings for the poor in Jerusalem. And that's why in chapters 8 and 9, he defends himself against that. They were a messed up church. They did not listen and repent and correct themselves after the writing of 1 Corinthians. And so he wrote them another letter. That letter too is lost, but it's referred to. And in that letter, he basically just blasted them. He did not hold back in any way. In fact, we can read in this book of 2 Corinthians, he said, after I wrote the letter, he said, I regretted it. There was sorrow in my heart because of what I said. But praise God, that letter had an effect. And they began to repent. And they began to straighten themselves out. And so he says, although I did regret it, now I don't. And based upon the report that he got from Titus that they were in repentance, he then penned this letter where he's talking then about comfort. And he's talking about his ministry and where he's making the last attempt to pull them together. And so as we would read 2 Corinthians, we get to see Paul, the man, the heart of Paul, the sympathy. There's no more personal or intimate revelation of this Apostle Paul than here as he just pours out his soul. That's his experience. No wonder, as we read in these verses, he talks about God being the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. How God strengthened him and encouraged him. How he was the paraclete who came alongside and helped him endure. You know, in verses 8 through 11, we get a specific experience. And look what it says. He says, brethren, I don't want you to be ignorant of the trouble which came to us in Asia. He evidently got into some big, big trouble. It's likely that this church knew what it was, but we don't. So there's a lot of speculation by the experts and commentators. He says that in verse 8, we were pressed out of measure. Pressed out of measure. The physical press. The word affliction has as its root the word pressing or pressure. Just a heavy weight. In old England, the way they punished those who were criminals was to put very heavy weights on them and just slowly crush them. And that's where the word affliction or pressure comes from. And the Apostle Paul says that the trouble which came to us, we were pressed out of measure. Above strength, it says, insomuch that we despaired even of life. We gave up hope. He's not talking about the care of the churches or persecution. He's talking about their very lives were at stake. It was time to die. And they accepted that. We despaired. Look at what he says in verse 9. He goes on. We had the sentence of death in ourselves. Many think that he was sentenced to death. And he was being tortured for that. And his time of his offering was coming. We had the sentence of death in ourselves. But then look what he says. That we should not trust in ourselves, but in God, which raiseth the dead. Obviously, he was ready to die because he trusted in God who would raise the dead. He looked forward to the resurrection, the same resurrection that he straightened this church out in 1 Corinthians 15. But he didn't die. It wasn't time. And so verse 10, he says, God delivered us from so great a death. That death sentence that we had, that death sentence that we accepted, that death sentence that made us despair and give up hope where we knew it was time, God delivered us. It wasn't time to die. It's interesting. In 2 Timothy, he talks also about that. He says, the time of my offering is at hand. The time of my departure is at hand. The exact same thing. We know he was sentenced to death. But there in 2 Timothy, he approaches it with joy. He says, I've fought a good fight. I have kept the faith. I've finished my course. There's a crown of righteousness awaiting. He looked forward to it because his work was done. Here his work is not done. And so as this death sentence came upon him, he despaired. But verse 10, God delivered us from so great a death. And he says, and he doth deliver, and whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. He delivered us in the past. He's delivering us now. He's going to deliver us. Our God comforts in the past. He comforts now. He comforts in the future. All seasons, all times. That's our God. And then he adds to that in verse 11, he thanks them for praying. This repentant church was praying for him. He said, ye also helping together by prayer for us. When we want to comfort and strengthen and help each other, what do? Among other things, we pray. We pray together. This church needs to pray together more. You know, we pray each Sunday morning at 9 o'clock. We're going to pray every Sunday morning at 9 o'clock. If you can be here, join us as we pray for each other. I'm so thankful for our prayer time where we share requests. It's so good. Let's keep praying. Look what he calls that in verse 11. He says, ye also helping together by prayer for us, that for the gift bestowed upon us by the means of many persons, thanks may be given. The gift bestowed upon us was the prayers. The prayers bestowed upon us by the means of many persons. Many of you were together. Many of you were praying. And now we can thank God for that. It's so good when we can do that. So that's the example of the Apostle Paul, how and why comfort meant so much to him. What about us then? We know the Scripture is given for us, right? For our learning. It's interesting that in Romans 15, it says that we, through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. The Bible's given to us to comfort us, that we might have hope. And this would be one of the prime chapters for finding comfort, for finding strength. And so we highlight every verse on the screen that deals with comfort and consolation. 10 times in those few verses, it uses that word comfort. It's the same word for consolation. 10 times the Apostle Paul refers to that. 10 times the word comfort, strengthening, fortify, coming alongside. It's the same word, by the way, for advocate. And so when the Scripture says, we have an advocate with the Father, even the Lord Jesus Christ, he's saying we have a comforter, we have a strengthener. You know, the Scripture says in here that God is the God of all comfort. Jesus, our advocate, he's comfort. And the Holy Spirit, his name is comforter. The entire Trinity, the nature of God includes comfort and strengthening us. He says, so let's look at verse 4. God comforteth us in all our tribulation. What's the purpose? What are the reasons for difficulties in life? You know, some of us, and perhaps me, we spend a lot of time trying to avoid uncomfortable situations, right? I knew a brother who said he can handle anything in life except being uncomfortable. He can handle anything except being uncomfortable. Some of us might do that. Work very hard to avoid pain. Be careful about our finances so that we don't have financial problems. Take care of our health so that we don't struggle with health issues. Care for our family so we don't have family problems. Or maybe look for experiences that we enjoy, vacations, and a nice home, and nice clothes, and possessions to avoid pain, to be comfortable. But God doesn't call us to a life of comfort. He calls us to a life of service and to a life of following Him. So if we are real comfortable in this life, if we are like the man who said, what am I going to do? I've prospered so much. My barns can't contain it all. I know what I'll do. I'll tear down these barns and I'll build bigger ones. And God said to him, thou fool, this night your life will be required of you. And then whose shall those things be? And so against that parable, that stark contrast with those who lay up treasure upon the earth, we think of our lives. And brother, sister, is that what our life is consumed by? Building a better life for us and our families? And for ourselves? It's not wrong to want better things and good things, but if that's the extent of it, we're like the fool. There's no Brinks truck following a hearse. Like the man who took the wheelbarrow of gold to heaven and got there and was told, hey, thanks for bringing the paving material, because the streets are gold there. Or do we seek to follow God's way, to serve each other, to spend our lives and our resources in service of the King of Kings, as the Apostle Paul did? Comfort isn't comfort in the absence of affliction. The purposes of comfort then, and the reasons for it, first of all, we live in a sinful world, don't we? A lost world where Satan is having his way. We live in a nation that is racing to the moral bottom, redefining what it means to be married. As was mentioned in our prayer time, this is the week of prayer vigil for foster children. And it was the focus of our 9 a.m. prayer time. And it's so interesting that where do the problems of the world show up but in the family? And what are we trying to do in this country? We're trying to redefine the family. And now we have 12 states that have legalized homosexual marriage. And we have those in Christian circles who think, well, just let people be that way. But the Bible, God defines marriage. He defines sin, and sin is sin. And where this shows up then is in the absolute war upon the family. And is it any wonder to see the tragic decline and destruction of families? And the casualties are the children, and eventually the nation as a whole. Suffering becomes because we're in a sinful world. Pain comes in our life, though, also, and suffering comes to assure us that we're saved. Because when we turn to God, and we rely upon Him, and when the Apostle Paul was comforted, he knew he belonged to God. The scripture says that the trial of our faith is more precious than gold, doesn't it? Because it assures us that we're His children. God knows we're His children, but maybe we don't know, and we learn that through difficulties as He stains us. Trials and difficulties and suffering changes us. It makes us tough, doesn't it? It helps us endure. You know, they've done experience where they've isolated amoeba. And they've done other experience where they isolate very tough trees. And they grow them in an environment where there's absolutely no wind, no affliction, no germs, no issues. And they do not survive. Because affliction is necessary to make us tough. To help us grow. To be more like Christ. The goal is that you, that I, would be like Jesus Christ. And that only comes one way, through difficulty, through struggles, through overcoming. You know, gold's refined in the fire, right? A diamond is formed under tremendous pressure. Pain and suffering helps us then also to help others. He says, God comforts us, verse 4, in all of our trouble, that we may be able to comfort them which are also in any trouble. It helps us help others. Ultimately, then, it brings glory to God, doesn't it? When in our lives we endure hardness and we serve Him, it glorifies Him. And so, it talks in here about the affliction as well, right? Verse 6, whether we be afflicted, it's for your consolation, for your salvation. And whether we be comforted, it's for your consolation and salvation. Whether things are going well or poorly, if it's a time of great pressure and weight or the time of relief, it's for your comfort and your salvation. That was His motive. And that should be our motive and our purpose as a church. When things are going really, really well, it's so that we can further the gospel. When the barriers are not so strong, when there's a clear path ahead and when we can rejoice, that's when we make a lot of ground in sharing the gospel, right? But when things are hard, when we struggle, when those among us have affliction, guess what? That's when we share the gospel. This idea of affliction and weight was described by the poet who talked about being pressed. He said, pressed out of measure and pressed to all length. Pressed so intensely it seems beyond strength. Pressed in the body and pressed in the soul. Pressed in the mind till the dark surges roll. Pressured by foes and pressure from friends. Pressure on pressure till life nearly ends. Pressed into knowing no helper but God. Pressed into loving the staff and His rod. Pressed into living a life in the Lord. Pressed into living a Christ life outpoured. When Peter wrote to the persecuted church, as we studied in Bible class, he said, in verse 15, let none of you suffer as a murderer or as a thief or as an evildoer or as a busybody in other men's matter. Don't bring difficulty in your life because of sin. Sin will bring tough times too. But God's comfort is not for those who are in sin. That's judgment and that's repentance. And Peter says, don't suffer for wrongdoing. But he goes on in verse 15 to say, yet if any man suffer as a Christian, suffering for God, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. Let's suffer for being a Christian and for working together and for serving each other. The Apostle Paul wrote a benediction on this. He knew how to write benedictions. In 2 Thessalonians 2, he says, And as our benediction this morning, now our Lord Jesus Christ Himself and God, even our Father, which hath loved us and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and every good work.